so you would come. Nothing you can do could make him love you more, and nothing that you've done could make him close the door. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come. Come to the Father. Though your gift is small, broken hearts, broken lives, he will take them all.
Thank you for that. Today we have a Gideon speaker with us, Keith Batchelor. We're glad to have him with us. And because of that, we're not going to have our children's moment. So all of the children are dismissed to go to children's church. We'll have a children's moment next week, I promise. And if anyone wants the bag for the children's moment, it is still up here from last week. Like the Great Exodus. We got all the kids leaving, all the choir coming down. Keith, if you would please come and share with us. We are excited to have you with us and excited to hear the continued work and ministry of the Gideon organization.
That's what a Zimbabwean soldier on patrol must have thought as he looked down at the body of a guerrilla fighter that he had killed in combat. As that soldier searched the person of this guerrilla fighter that he had killed in combat, he came upon the copy of a Gideon testament. He removed that testament and took that testament with him. Sometime later, as he picked that testament up and began to read that testament, he read that entire little testament, and he turned to the back page of the testament. In most of the Gideon testaments, there's a back decision page that an individual has the opportunity to sign and date with their decision for Christ. So as this soldier made the decision to turn his life over to Christ, he signed and dated that testament with his name. In doing so, he recognized that the guerrilla fighter that he had killed in combat had also signed that testament. We don't know how the guerrilla fighter acquired that testament, but we do know that the Lord was able to turn two enemies into brothers for eternity, and for that we're thankful. The Gideons International, as many of you probably know, is an association of born-again Christian business and professional men. We were founded in 1899 with the central theme and purpose of sharing the good news of the gospel around the world. Today, we're organized in more than 200 countries, and scriptures are published in more than 100 languages, and there are many other languages to be interpreted in, so the work is not complete. We place Bibles in the designated traffic lanes of life. No doubt you've seen Gideon Testaments as you traveled throughout your community, as you traveled to other states, maybe across the world. You know, we place them in hotels, motels, convalescent homes, schools and colleges. Someone asked me earlier if we were still being able to get into school systems. Well, I'm sorry to say we're not here locally. We're not in Logan County where I reside as well. But, you know, I'm not sure that maybe all doors are closed, but we are, again, distributing them in locations such as prisons, police and fire medical personnel, men and women in our armed services, doctor's office, again, many opportunities that are still open and present themselves to share God's word. As members of our local churches, I've had some dental work, so y'all pardon my slur if I slur a little bit. As members of our local churches, the Gideons visit congregations just as yourselves to share how God is using the seeds that are being sowed. We are an extension of your local church, and we work in partnership with believers just like you all around the world. So I thank you today for being a partner with, I think, the Gideon work for many, many years, the pastor, I think, was sharing with me. By God's grace, we placed and distributed over 87 million scriptures last year, and that number may be a little dated still. But since 1908, we've placed more than 2.2 billion scriptures. You know, we hear that billion terminology today, and many times that's in a negative connotation, maybe in regards to a debt or something of that sort. But we're very thankful and blessed to recognize that 2.2 billion scriptures have been placed through this organization. And, of course, there are many, many more opportunities to continue that work. You might be interested to know that we distributed hundreds of thousands of testaments to the military in the Middle East, including Iraq. One of the key verses that I think the Gideon work is founded upon is Isaiah 55:11. And, of course, that verse shares with us that God's word does not return void. As men and women, boys and girls across the globe, you know, come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the word of God. I'd like to share with you, just for the next few moments, a few more scriptures and testimonies that have been turned back into the Gideon organization. During his freshman year at college, Kevin Massey Galipsky was walking to class one day when he saw a group of men standing before him on his way to class one morning. Well, Kevin quickly recognized that it would just be easier to accept one of these little books than it would be to turn down all of these men that were in his way to his destination that morning. Later that same day, he made the decision to skip class. So as he skipped class, he picked up that little book again, and he began reading in the book of Matthew chapter 1. Later that night, he continued reading until he had sometime later completed that whole New Testament, the book of Psalms and Proverbs. When he turned and discovered the decision page in that little testament, he too made his decision for Christ. And later when he went to share this decision with his brother Keith, who was a student at that same university, he realized that his brother had accepted a testament that same day. And today these brothers are serving the Lord together. Mark, a high school student, was extremely anti-religious. He did everything he could do to make Christians feel stupid. He even went to the extent of studying books on how to, quote, debunk Christianity. But deep down inside, Mark was envious of Christians, but he saw something in them that he just really didn't understand. But one day, Mark was on a school trip, and he was in a hotel, and he found it especially gratifying to take the freebies that he called that were available in the hotel, and he came upon that Gideon Testament, that bedside table. And Mark recognized this as an opportunity to annoy maybe some Christian that had placed that Bible in that table. So he took that Bible with him that day. That Bible turned out to be Mark's first experience with God's Word. He was too proud at first to go to church because of his reputation, but that Bible, again, led him to Christ. And since that time, Mark has grown into a wonderful Christian young man. And he attributes that experience with God through that Gideon Bible for his life's turnaround. Many schools, I know there are a lot of educators here. My wife is with me today, and she knows lots of you through the Ty County school system some years ago. And, you know, many, we take this for granted, but many schools in the poor countries of the world use their Gideon Testaments to teach their pupils to read. You know, we can't comprehend that. We're so blessed. But maybe that'd be something to maybe take into our school system as a realization how blessed we are with the materials that we have. But some years back, a Gideon visited a school in Brazil that he had the opportunity to visit some 10 years before. Well, when this Gideon returned to this scripture distribution in Brazil, he took a few moments when he arrived at the church that he had visited again some 10 years earlier to see by chance if there were any testaments remaining from his previous distribution. Well, he was fortunate to find a couple of testaments in the building that were there again delivered some 10 years earlier. When he picked up one of those testaments, he turned to the back page and he recognized that there were 10 signatures and 10 dates for 10 pupils over I think it was 9 pupils over the previous 9 years that had used that testament to read and again found Christ in doing so. So, you know, these are again some awesome accounts and testimonies that have been turned back into the organization of how God has been able to use His Word throughout the globe. Another example: one time, Sammy Contreras, he controlled all the illegal drug traffic in the city of Colorado City, Texas. He had distributed every illegal drug available, but while in jail for attempted murder, a Gideon came to visit the inmates, and Sammy and his friends, they accepted these Gideon testaments not for the intention of reading them in their pastime, but rather to use the pages to make playing cards out of. So one day, while Sammy and his boredom began to match these pages back together, he happened upon the scripture for God so loved the world. And we might think that was Sammy's divine appointment, that he again began to hear from God and accept Him. Sammy did turn his life around. He accepted Jesus as his Savior, and today he's a pastor in an evangelical church. So praise God again for that example and testimony. You may be wondering how you can be a part of this ministry. Well, my number one reason for being here today is to ask that you place this ministry on your prayer concerns. You know, our prayer needs are great. We just had the opportunity to raise those prayer concerns a minute ago, but I pray that you would think of the vast need of testaments and God's Word across the globe, and put this hopefully on your daily prayer concerns. If At the close of the service today, you're going to have an opportunity to financially support the ministry as well. And we just certainly appreciate that opportunity and thank you for what you've given in the past. And if God's laid it on your heart to do so again today, we would appreciate that, and we thank you for that in advance. The New Testaments that we distribute, these little pocket testaments that we're also familiar with, they tell us they cost on average $1.30 a piece. So a book or a box of 100 testaments as they come are able to be purchased for a contribution of $130, and they can of course be shared all across the globe. The Gideon Bibles in the hotels that no doubt you've had an opportunity to see, those testaments, they say, cost on average about $5. But they tell us that those $5 investments have the potential to reach 2,300 people in the course of a six-year stay in a hotel room. You know, those of us in business, I think that's a pretty impressive statistic when we think about our advertising dollars and how far an investment in advertising could go. So, again, we're very thankful and excited about the number of lives that hotel testament can reach. Remember, every dollar you contribute, every dollar we receive is used to purchase, produce, and ship these scriptures. You may also have a Gideon card rack in your sanctuary, Pastor. Do you have those? The Gideon cards are a new opportunity, a new way to support the Gideons, and I'd encourage you in the days ahead when you have the reason or the need for a card to consider these cards. You know, happy birthday cards, thinking of you, praying for you, in sympathy, of course, and recognition, and others. So these are cards that can be used for about every opportunity that you might have. And we would ask that next time you have a need for the sending of a card, to pick up one of these, use those, advertise the Gideon work in that effort, and also have the opportunity to share God's word. So again, we appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. My wife and I have felt extremely welcomed and so blessed to see many familiar faces, and again, we pray God's richest blessings on your work here at Peachtree.
Thank you, Keith. If you don't already, do y'all have anniversary cards for that as well? Okay, good. Abby, you're going to get an anniversary card from them. That'll help me out tremendously. Thank you again for sharing. The Gideons have always been very special to me. My grandfather was a Gideon for many years, and grateful for the ministry that you all have, and grateful to hear the continued work that you all do, not just here, but around the world. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. Joel chapter 2, verses 23 to 32. Hear now the word of our Lord. Children of Zion, rejoice and be glad in the Lord your God, because he will give you the early rain as a sign of righteousness, and he will pour down abundant rain for you, the early and the late rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, the vats will overflow with new wine and fresh oil. I will repay you for the years that the cutting locust, the swarming locust, the hopping locust, and the devouring locust has eaten, my great army which I sent against you. You will eat abundantly and be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has done wonders for you, and my people will never again be put to shame. You will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God. No other exists. Never again will my people be put to shame. After that, I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves. I will give signs in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. But everyone who calls on the Lord's name will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be security, as the Lord has promised. And in Jerusalem the Lord will summon those who survive. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. When we speak or think of abundance, what typically comes to our mind? We usually think maybe of food or clothing or blessings that we have received. Yesterday we had an abundance of wind. Sometimes we think maybe more negatively about abundance. We've got an abundance of issues or problems. That's where I tend to go when I think of abundance. But we tend to think about resources and things we do or do not have. And in verses 23 to 27 of this passage this morning, this is what God primarily speaks of, these resources, these physical things. He says that Israel will receive abundant rain, the early rain and the late rain. They will receive grain. There will be so much grain that the threshing floors will be filled. The wine vats will overflow with new wine. There will be fresh oil. Everything that the locusts have eaten and have destroyed and have taken away will be returned to them. The people in Israel will eat abundantly and be satisfied. I don't know about you, but I love to eat abundantly, and I love to be satisfied in those ways. And all of these things stand as proof that God is in their midst, that God is with them, that God's Spirit is present, and that the people are no longer alone as they have thought they are alone. How often have we had times in our lives where we felt we were alone? We felt that God had abandoned us or had forsaken us, and we have to be reminded that He does not forsake us, but His presence is there if we would be mindful and if we would look. But then in verses 28 to 32, God promises a different kind of abundance. And He goes a step further. He promises to pour out His Spirit upon everyone, to pour out His Holy Spirit on all who are there. The abundance of material possessions, the abundance of food, the abundance of clothing that we have, and housing and things like that we have in our country are certainly good things. But we can sense that the abundance of God's presence and presence in His Spirit is far more vital for us. We know this is the case. We believe this is the case for the most part. We recognize these words in verses 28 to 32, don't we? We've heard these before, somewhere. We've heard them in Acts chapter 2 as Peter preaches the first sermon after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit comes down like a violent rushing wind, which again we have experienced here recently. The prophecy that is proclaimed here in Joel, the words that are uttered and written here have been fulfilled. It's happened. Peter recognized that, and that's why he thought of these words. And that's why he proclaimed these words to those who were gathered. And several thousand, when they heard this word, began to believe. Christ has come to this earth. He has died. He has risen again. And He has ascended. And we know that He has ascended so that the Holy Spirit would come. So that Joel chapter 2 would be fulfilled. So that we might know God more fully than we have ever known before. Throughout Scripture, we see God as this great being who is doing any number of things for Israel and for His people. And then we see Him born in a manger. We see Him live and have this ministry and die and rise again and ascend. And then we see God in the form of the Holy Spirit, who's unpredictable, who moves here and there without asking us for permission. Maybe he's asking us for forgiveness from time to time. And he continues to move and work. And this prophecy is fulfilled. And we sit here today as the beneficiaries of Joel chapter 2. We are the beneficiaries of this abundance that God means to give us. And that abundance is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to ask ourselves today, what does this mean for us? When we have this abundance, what are we to do with it? And they say that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. We're not to be snollygasters, corrupt persons or individuals who use things for their own needs, but we are to be those who share the abundance we have received so that others might have. The abundance we have is important and is crucial because we are again called to share that abundance. We have the opportunity this day to recognize, not to have, but to recognize that it's already there, the abundance of God's presence, the abundance of God's Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit is active and present. He is here. Do we recognize it? This abundance means that there is an abundance of gifts present in each and every one of us here today. Everyone sitting here today who calls on the name of the Lord, who recognizes the Holy Spirit, has gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are meant for you to use. Not for your own edification, but for the good of the community. For the good of the rest of us. I talk real good, so I preach and use that gift. And all of God's people said, "Oh man, I really wasn't expecting you to even say amen, so thank you for that." We all have these gifts that we are given to use for the common good, for the good of the community. We who are Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with His giftings, and it is our task, our privilege, our joy to use these gifts. And guess what? Not only are there an abundance of gifts, but there are an abundance of opportunities for us to use those gifts for the good of our congregation, Petrie Memorial, for the good of Elkton, Kentucky, for the good of Todd County. We have those opportunities to use those gifts. And the reason we do all of this, he tells us very plainly in verse 32, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that everyone who hears God's word would be saved. So that everyone who has the opportunity in our abundance to purchase and have these distributed would read God's word and be saved. To feel His presence, to know He is near. That is our task. That is why we do what we do. So that others will know. Not so that they'll have a bunch of stuff and have abundance in that way, but so that they will be abundant in the Spirit of God. So that they will know that they are children of the Most High. So that they, too, just like we, might come to that everlasting life that is given to us in Jesus Christ. And that life doesn't start in some distant future, but it begins now. And it's our task to make that a reality. And I hope that we will continue to do just that. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again so very much for this day, for Your love and Your grace, for Your mercies that are new each day. We thank You not only for the word that You give us to read, but we thank You for all of those words that have been fulfilled and are continuing to be fulfilled in our midst. We pray that You would continue to guide and lead us as Your people, not merely to hear these words or store these words up, but Lord, to share these words, to share out of the abundance that you have given to us, so that others may hear of you and be saved. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name.